Well, it is time once again for our monthly Bridging the Gap segment presented by our friends at the Orange Partnership, where on the first Friday of each month, we meet with local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and helping all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. This month, we're joined in the studio by Jenny Robbins, who's a data analyst and a parent involved in Orange Partnership. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you.
We also have with us Ava Hill, who's a UNC senior and an ADAPT intern working with Orange Partnership. Ava, welcome.
Hi.
So it is April, and I think people often think of April when it comes to making jokes about 420 and all of that stuff. We're going to be digging a little bit into kind of marijuana products and smoking products and that stuff too. But also, there's been a lot of headlines and focus on this in the last few years recently, so extremely topical on that front. Before we get into kind of the details on that, I want to kind of get into the backgrounds of how you both got involved with Orange Partnership. And Jenny, I want to start with you. We know that this is all about kind of focusing on healthy communities, healthy communication, of course, and making sure kids are making good decisions. Can you tell us how you got started and what your work with the partnership is like?
Sure, of course. I have been a researcher for a long time now and did a lot of cardiology and exercise physiology, a lot of prevention work. And my interest with this topic specifically is that I have two kids, and one of which is 13, middle school, perfect age for all of these things. And it's amazing what I've learned just in being with Orange Partnership. And so very topical for me.
Absolutely. And Ava, we've talked with some folks on from the ADAPT team before, but what's it been like working with them and working with the partnership?
Yeah, so I'm actually a senior here at UNC, and part of my capstone is to do an internship with an organization in the community, and I got partnered up with Orange Partnership. And me and Jenny have actually been doing a lot of work with environmental scans, so we're going to, like, all the tobacco shops in the area and looking at marketing to youth and, like, what kind of products they have, things like that. So it's been really interesting so far.
I don't think I've ever heard that term before, environmental scans, but it makes a lot of sense. So you're just kind of popping in to see, okay, one, what is this spot like? And then digging more into how it is that they are focusing products on perhaps the wrong audiences or trying to draw more people in. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward sometimes because, you know, we just go in stores and are looking around, like staring behind the counter at the cigarettes and things like that. But yeah, we found some really interesting data about just what different communities like Carrboro versus Hillsboro, what they have and price differences and things like that.
So. Yeah, well, I imagine we'll kind of dig into that and some of that stuff more. I mean, we obviously know that there's tons of different tobacco and marijuana products that are sold and marketed today that are meant to appeal to younger audiences. I feel like the stuff that often gets talked about is the flavored vapes and different gummies and stuff like that. What have been some of the things that you've noticed when it comes to specific marketing tactics employed to try and target those audiences? And Ava, I guess we'll continue with you.
Yeah, we notice it's kind of a difference between like convenience stores versus actual tobacco and vape stores. Convenience stores, it's a little bit sneakier. Like they'll have jewels and vapes right beside like ice cream machines and candy and things like that. But in actual tobacco stores, I'm sure most people have noticed like the front of them are covered in these flashing lights everywhere, like vapes, THC, kratom. And then you go inside and most of the time things are self-service, so you can just walk up, pick up anything you want, and take it to the counter and buy it, which is hard because a lot of THC products are not regulated. You can be 18 and buy them, and we've done compliance checks through Orange Partnership with tobacco products, and a lot of times we're finding out that these stores are not checking IDs, so somebody can be even younger than 18 and buy things.
Yeah, lots of things popping up there. Jenny, what about some of the observations you've made?
Right, and also going a little bit further on that, tobacco products in North Carolina, you have to be 18 to buy. However, the synthetic THC products, there is no regulation or age limit on. So really, you could be any age, and it's legal for kids to buy these products. So it's pretty scary and alarming. And but yes, definitely just the names of some of these products called cake or have all these fancy flavors that sound really exciting and great and also appeal to kids because they're fizzy blast or, you know, just really fun names that are very similar to the drinks that they want, like Prime and things that they do drink, and they look similar too. So there also can be some confusion when they go to pick up a product that maybe it is something that would be okay for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all kind of a process of that marketing and branding, trying to normalize it, not only capitalize on what they're interested in, but also normalize it as, hey, we're not that different from all of these other things as well. I mean, I imagine that's also kind of an aspect of what you're thinking about is not only, okay, what decisions are they making to try and draw them in, but also then to keep them coming back, right?
Exactly. Right. And once they're addicted, you know, they will keep coming back. And so they're trying to get kids even younger and younger. So that addiction does form and they have a forever client.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other kind of observations along those lines that you've noticed in your environmental scans, Ava?
Yeah, this is kind of going off of what she just talked about, but a lot of times we're noticing that the products are based on products that already exist. Like we'll find a cookie type THC product that looks like an Oreo, or a lot of the gummies will look like Sour Patch Kids and things like that. And at first glance, you might think it actually is candy or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's especially hard because if a parent didn't look too close, I mean, they might would think it really is just candy. They don't know what their kid has and where they got it from.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a big difference. We're speaking with Ava Hill and Jenny Robbins here on Bridging the Gap, which is presented by Orange Partnership. So we know Orange Partnership is here not only to provide this information, but also to make it so parents know how to talk with their kids a little bit more about it. And Jenny, you talked about it too, the dangers of, well, suddenly if they start using these and they either want to rely on it or they're doing it for fun, they can get straight up addicted to it in some ways too. I'm hoping you can talk a little bit about, you know, how problematic it is for people to understand the proper dosage on these products. And you've already talked about the lack of regulation. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences that young folks face if they start going down this road, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the lack of regulation is really difficult. And some of the levels of THC in these products is very, very high. And I think one thing that kids or parents of kids don't realize is that the products that are out there right now are so different from what I myself had, I'm 45, or my parents had, you know, the Woodstock era. It's completely different. And these synthetic products have so much more THC involved, and kids are experiencing things like elevated levels of anxiety, depression, psychosis, just some really scary things, and EMS is having to be called, and just really scary things that kids don't really realize. They just want to be cool and try to do what other kids are doing, and some pretty scary results. So
yeah. So what are some tactics that y'all have talked about with Orange Partnership in terms of either dispelling some common misconceptions around those products or talking about, you know, the parents' fears when it comes to that stuff? Because that's a big part of it, too. It's not only the keeping the kids safe, but it's also communicating like, hey, you know, we're not just saying don't do this because we're saying it's bad. It's also because, you know, it's scary for us to not necessarily know what to do. What are some of the tactics that Orange Partnership encourages?
Yeah, I mean, I think we encourage parents to we're trying to help educate parents, mm-hmm. and also talk to kids about our, you know, talking often, talking early, just little short conversations, but often. It doesn't have to be one long, big conversation. That's something that, you know, we've learned works well. Ava.
Yeah, I think the most advice I would have is talk to your kid. Don't just lecture them, because kids, I'm only 20, but we know a lot more than you think we do, I guess, if that makes sense, but we don't want to admit it because, I mean, I've heard from a lot of people and even just myself being on social media, you can go on Snapchat or something and find a person to get you something really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parents just don't always understand that. So I think, like Jenny just said, starting these conversations early so it doesn't get to the point where you have to lecture, but just try to talk to your kid. Meet them where they are and find out what they know without it being, I don't know, intimidating.
Yeah, I imagine part of that too, as you mentioned, is making sure that you yourself, as you're starting that conversation, are relatively informed as well, because it is so different. You don't want to come in with necessarily this outdated notion of how these things are available in the world and how the kids are trying to navigate through it as well. Is there any other type of specific information you would suggest for parents to inform themselves on when it comes to talking with their children about tobacco or marijuana products?
Yeah, one thing that we've heard from our ADAPT interns who are in middle school and high school is that one thing they often hear is don't do it. Just don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that parents think they've talked to their kids once they've said that. We've had the talk. And that poses a couple of problems. One being that maybe the kids already have tried it, and then you've kind of shut them down from wanting to talk to you because where do you go from there? You've already disappointed your parent. How do you talk to them? Another one is, I mean, you want the kids to talk to you. So just asking them, like Ava said, you know, meet them where they are. Tell me what you know about that. Let's talk about it. What can you learn from the kids? But saying don't do it just doesn't really give them a whole lot of information and just kind of shuts them down.
Yeah. Ava, do you want to build off that?
Yeah. A lot of times when we do like our education to youth, we end the presentation with what's your why. So after we talk to the kids about the harms, we talk about why should you stay away from alcohol? Why should you stay away from drugs? Is it because you want to go to college and have a successful career? Is it because you don't want to disappoint your parents? Whatever it may be. But I think finding a reason personal to that individual, that child, youth, whatever, for a reason not to get into drugs is really important. Because like Jenny just said, if you just say don't do it, that we've heard that a million times. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we've got about a minute left or so. We usually talk about making sure folks know orangepartnership.org, a website to go to obviously learn more about Orange Partnership, but lots of different resources are available there. What are some other ones that y'all would suggest or tips for parents to try and get the conversation started on this and also to inform themselves? Do you encourage them doing their own environmental scans, checking this stuff out?
I mean, you certainly can. Yeah, I think that's a good idea if you're in your neighborhood. I think when you hear things like this, all of a sudden you'll start noticing, oh, gosh, there's another tobacco shop. There's another vape shop that you don't really even realize it as you're just going around. They're pretty common.
And so any specific resources on the website or elsewhere that you would recommend or that Orange Partnership provides?
One thing, actually, this isn't in association with Orange Partnership that I found is operationparent.com. They do webinars and they're free. You'd sign up and they usually have like doctors and even just parents that have experience with their youth using or something like that. And they do talks about just the harms and things like that. I've joined some of them and I've actually learned a lot, even as a young person, from these parents talking about what kids are doing these days.
That sounds great. Again, orangepartnership.org, as well as that resource there that Ava just provided. And they always do a great job of coming in each month to talk about the different things that they're working on. So we appreciate Jenny Robbins and Ava Hill, y'all coming in with your advice and observations. And thanks to Orange Partnership for presenting Bridging the Gap each month as they work to, you know, try and create a community collaboratively working to close the communication gap between parents and children. Jenny and Ava, again, thanks so much for joining us today on Bridging the Gap.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.